On the show right now, though, we're talking about books and getting published and actually doing it, to be honest, just getting out there and doing it. Well, when Mike McCoy from Seaton Burn was at school, he was told he was thick, he was told he wouldn't amount to anything, and he was really put down in no uncertain terms. And we chatted to Mike a while back about the fact that he was going to start writing a book. And it is written. Well, he was later diagnosed with dyslexia. During his school days, he put together a local history project about the history of the Northeast. And quite a while later, 38 years later, his wife, Alison, who is also dyslexic, found it in their loft. And she said, you know what? This is a book. That project is going to be a book and you're going to show everybody. And Mike McCoy indeed did show everybody.
Anything to do with history was written by learned people. And they usually had fancy long words and a lack of pictures and so on and so forth. So when I wrote this book, I separated it into anything that was old, 1900 and before, anything new, 1900 to 1977. So when Alison read this, she read it with ease. And it takes a long time to explain dyslexia, but dyslexia has two sides of it. You can either be a great reader and a lousy speller, or you can be a poor reader, but you need colour, and that's my side of it. Anyway, the interesting thing was, sometime in your life, things run concurrently. Doors open. I belong to a large national networking organisation. One of the guys that is a writer, a guy called Chris Rooney, would always stand up and say that he does books for people, and he says, we all have a book within us. Well, I was hearing this phrase constantly every month, and I got annoyed, and I got to a point where I met him for a coffee, and I dumped all my notes in front of him, and I just stood there with my hands on my hips, and I said, right, there's my book. I was waiting for a response, like a laughter, and I waited and waited and waited, and he's flicking through the pages, and he was gobsmacked by the amount of information there. And he and one or two people cajoled me into getting this into print. Now, I don't know, I get the violin out, but one of the problems with these labels is you've got such a pessimistic attitude, and the fact that no, this is not going to sell. And the biggest critic, as I mentioned before, of myself is myself.
So did you have self-doubt that your book would sell?
Oh, massively.
And yet here you are now. Mm-hmm. It's there.
Yeah,
in the studio, on the desk. Can I have a look at it?
By all means.
Okay, let's see if I can explain this to you. So, it is a lovely, shiny book. Newcastle, old and new, the story so far, a young boy's journey and vision of his home city revisited many years later. So this started out as a project when he was just 15 years old. And now look at it. Beautiful photograph of the Tyne Bridge on the front. And then, of course, throughout, the history of Newcastle with loads of fantastic pictures of the architecture and the Great Exhibition. And there you go. Beautifully written. No spelling wrong. You should be very proud of yourself.
The third week of February, we got this book, but with a sloppy back cover because It was the draft. That moment when you look at the book, you think, wow, it's almost real. So then a week later, collected the books, and we had in the living room 10 or 12 boxes. You open every box, a shiny book, 200 books, and you get that, wow, these books are real. Then you go, oh, hell, I better sell them.
And have you sold them, Mike?
Yes, I have.
So all those years ago when you were being kicked out of the English class, would you ever have suspected that you would have written a book and already sold 57 copies?
God, no. I tell you, after a career of sales, and I've been called all sorts of strange and weird names centred around the word rep, to be called an author, but it takes a long time to settle in. And the fact, I have been sitting on this for 35 years.
Well, that's the thing, is that if people are listening to the show and they are dyslexic, they did have a tough time at school, they did have that self-doubt that you were saying,
yeah,
or anybody who thinks they might have a book in them, come on, you're a motivational person, Mike. What are you going to say to them?
Go for it. Never give up. Never surrender. The first thing to do, if you have an idea, discreetly mention it to one or two people, and you will find support from them, as I did with my network and circle, friends, my family, and they said, yeah, go for it. Yeah, that's a great idea. I was surprised that when I've done talks, I've had redundancies. People are interested to hear about how you cope with the redundancies. I've had problems about the dyslexia when I was a child. Well, how did you cope, and so on? And people have been almost greedy for the story of how I got here. And you think, well, why do people want to talk about my sad part of my life?
I don't think they want to talk. I think they just want
how you got out of it.
Yes, yeah. Overcoming adversity, isn't it?
Okay.
Well, Mike, as ever, a joy having you in the studio. Thank you very much for coming in.
It is an absolute pleasure. And to be here to talk to you is a badge of honour. and an indication that I've achieved something in life.
That's it. That's all you have to do is get in here, and that's it. You've made it. BBC Newcastle Radio for the North East. You just listened to Mike's story there from Seaton Burn at school. Told he was thick, he would never amount to anything. And there you go. He himself has written a book.